Turn, please, to the first epistle of John. I'd like to read the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. What a weight of treasure the Apostle John was given to make known to his readers, both in the Gospel and in his Epistle. It is likely, of course, that the Epistle was written before the Gospel. It was written at a time when the truths that we've been enjoying over the last few days were coming under increasing attack, not so much from the world in its darkness as from the religious world and those who are casting doubts upon the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alas, it has ever been so down through the ages. The devil has sought to introduce strange ideas concerning the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unless there be any doubt about these truths, the Holy Spirit caused the Apostle John to write comparatively late in the apostolic age, these wonderful fundamental truths. I believe it was first the first epistle, and then latterly the Gospel of John and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be that as it may, we have in our hands a wonderful affirmation and revelation of the Father and the Son and the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now he starts his epistle by saying that which was from the beginning. What does he mean by the beginning? He begins his gospel by saying, in the beginning was God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that what he means here? I don't think it is quite. I believe it means in the beginning of the revelation of Jesus Christ. From the moment of his birth, his life, his public ministry, his death, his resurrection, the coming of the Holy Spirit. In other words, the beginnings of the age of faith. I would almost say the beginning of the Spirit's day, but I think it goes a little further back than that. I think it goes back to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was first seen and heard here upon this earth. What a wonderful day it was when he stood up in that synagogue in Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so on. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. That which was from the beginning, not a new revelation, that which was, that which John, that which the other disciples, that which those who had seen and heard the Lord Jesus had believed in. This was from the beginning, and this is the one that you and I have put our trust in, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. We sang last night, didn't we? Once beheld and heard below. what a wonderful thing it would have been to see him or to hear him or both. But we have something better as we have been exploring in our conference. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit who's able to bring all these things before us and make them good to us, which we have looked upon. I wonder if John's mind went back there when he wrote that to a day some 60 years earlier, something like that, when he looked upon Jesus as he walked, he and another disciple. I'm sorry, I'm assuming it was John. It was one called Andrew and another disciple, but I'm sure, and I expect you won't argue with me when I say I believe it was John. Behold, the Lamb of God. They were two disciples of John the Baptist, but from that moment, they turned and followed Jesus. Master, where dwellest thou? Come and see. And really, you know, the writings of John are an answer to that question. Come and see. We sang the other day, didn't we? Lord, we do not ask the question, where abidest thou? Well, we know where thou art dwelling. Well, we know it now. We have these treasures revealed to us, inasmuch as God is pleased to reveal them to us, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. You know, when the Lord Jesus rose from among the dead, he appeared to his disciples and he said to them in the upper room, if I can find the verse, it's Luke 24. Here we are, verse 39. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And we heard of Thomas last night, did we not? Thomas, who would not believe unless he could see the pierced side of the Lord Jesus and his pierced hands. Now, all right, Thomas is typical of the Jewish nation. But nevertheless, these two scriptures, John 20 and Luke 24, establish to us, if we need it establishing, that the one who went into death is the one who came out of death. Here it is. The Lord Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, although we'll come to this in a moment, but the one who went into death is the one who came out of death. Our hands have handled. We have been occupied, have we not, with the Apostle John, who leant upon the bosom of the Lord Jesus in that upper room. Leant upon his bosom and indeed upon his breast, a place of rest, a place of security, a place of strength. Our hands have handled. What a privilege that was for the Apostle John. Nevertheless, our hands have handled of the word of life. Notice it is that of whom we are speaking. It is the word of life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. But the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Let us hold on to these basic truths of Christianity. I know that as we've been considering over these last days, we no longer know Christ after the flesh. And if we did, we henceforth know him no more. But it is so important to know that the one we are speaking of was the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was here, the one who went into death, the one who came out of death. And yet he is the word of life, his person, his place. He is the Son of God, the Father and the Son together. And we have been speaking of the wonderful place that we have in Christ, the Son. And the Son within the Son in the Father. Well, this life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life
which was with the Father, but was manifest unto us.
Eternal life, if you read that verse, eternal life is a person. It's not a concept, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Eternal life. I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We possess that life in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a present possession. It's not something we're waiting for when we die or when the Lord comes. It's a present possession. You have it now. Don't let anyone try to tell you otherwise. And people will. They say, oh, it's, when I die, I hope the Lord gives. No, I'm sorry. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is eternal life. And if you have the Son, you have that life. You have it now to be enjoyed. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. The Apostle John is writing here as an apostle. One of those 11 who were privileged to have revealed to them these profound truths, perhaps never made known in all their fullness before. One of the 11. And that is why he can say, you may have fellowship with us. They entered into these things, perhaps not when the Lord told them, but they did when the Holy Spirit came and put them in mind of everything they had heard. As the Lord had told them that he would bring all things to your remembrance, and how their hearts must have burned within them, not only on those two on the road to Emmaus, but the the 11 apostles themselves, as when the Holy Spirit had come upon them, described in the second chapter of Acts, and when they thought of all the things the Lord Jesus Christ had told them, how their hearts must have burned within them as the Holy Spirit brought home to them with force all that he had spoken to them. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. This is what fellowship is. This is the reality of fellowship. Yes, we have fellowship one with another. That is blessedly true. But our fellowship is actually fellowship-centered. And it is fellowship with the Father and the Son. In the terms of those verses that we were reading this afternoon in John 14, let's just remind ourselves what we read. John 14, at that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This is true fellowship. What a privilege. We are the most privileged people, the most privileged circle of people on this earth, far more than Israel, far more than the early saints in the Old Testament. No, the fellowship of the Father and the Son. And this is where fellowship derives. And if we have fellowship one with another, it's because individually we each have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. People speak of fellowship in a loose way, and while we're at it, let's just deal with that. People sometimes say a fellowship or the fellowship. How many have you got in your little fellowship in Hounslow? Well, for a start, it's not my fellowship. And for another, it's not a fellowship. It's not a fellowship. It is a gathering. It is a gathering of saints. I wouldn't even call it an assembly, because if it were an assembly, every Christian in Hounslow would be there, and they're not. So it is a gathering of saints. But we trust that we do individually, and when we come together, have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And that is the reality. And anything else is an extension based on that. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. When we get to John 16, if the Lord allows it, if the Lord would have us to get to John 16, we'll read a great deal about joy. Well, let's not talk about it now, but God wants our joy to be full. And this is a joy, not a joy that the world knows. The world can't enter into these things. But there is true joy in this fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with all that brings. And this is the aim and the purpose of fellowship. It's both individual and it's collective. Perhaps you get the collective side more in 1 Corinthians 1:9, the fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's in relation to the assembly. But here is something absolute. Here is something clear. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.